Why do you burn down the community? Why do you burn down your own neighborhood? It's not ours. We don't own anything. We don't own anything. Trevor Noah said it so beautifully last night. There's a social contract that we all have, that if you steal or if I steal, then the person who is the authority comes in and they fix the situation. But the person who fixes the situation is killing us. So the social contract is broken. And if the social contract is broken, why the fuck do I give a shit about burning the fucking Football Hall of Fame, about burning the fucking Target? You broke the contract when you killed us in the streets and didn't give a fuck. You broke the contract when for 400 years we played your game and built your wealth. You broke the contract when we built our wealth again on our own, by our bootstraps in Tulsa, and you dropped bombs on us. When we built it in Rosewood and you came in and you slaughtered us. You broke the contract, so fuck your Target. Fuck your Hall of Fame. As far as I'm concerned, they could burn this bitch to the ground. And it still wouldn't be enough. And they are lucky that what black people are looking for is equality and not revenge.
Welcome to the Ken's Corner Podcast. I am your host, Ken. Yes, yes, yes. What a very, very powerful intro. Could not do it any other way than that to start off this podcast, but I want to make sure that I do it correctly in the way that you are used to having it. And that's testing, testing, 1, 4, 3. It is all love, baby. Welcome to the Ken's Corner Podcast, and I am your host, Ken, and I am so happy that you are here today. If you're listening for the first time, if you're listening for the 61st time, because this is episode number 61, I appreciate you and just continue blessings on you. And as you continue to give me good energy and continue to give me criticism, continue to just rock with it, brother, man. I just love it. So just thank you so much. What I continue to need you to do is please subscribe wherever you are downloading your podcast information, your podcast entertainment. I need you to subscribe on that particular entity. I need you to rate on that particular platform. That was the word I was looking for, on that particular platform. So please subscribe, please download, please stream, and as always, when I post, please share, like, and retweet. That's very simple. Always share it with four people, at least four people. And then after that, you can also interact with me on all my social media platform at Ken's Corner on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And on my website, www.kenscorner.co. That's www.kenscorner.co. So what's going on in the neighborhood that we can talk about on the corner? I want to first and foremost say thank you, man. I was able to be a part of a wonderful, wonderful, really two wonderful things. On Wednesday, I was honored to be with Kimberly. Well, I call her Kim. It was Kimberly, but some people pronounce it Kimberly. And I want to make sure I get her correct on what she is actually. So it's Kimberly Harris Cummings, and she is running for the one. Let's see. What district is she in? I should have had this together, but she's running for the 105th General Assembly for Illinois. On Wednesday, I was a guest chef on her platform, which was Facebook, and I made chicken fillies and breaded French fries, and we just talked about higher education and my experience in that. So thank you so much, sweetheart. I love you so much. I'm proud of you. And then I had the opportunity on Friday to be a part of the Truth Be Told podcast. And it's a collaboration with Dr. Stephanie Craw with the Free Your Mind, with Dr. K, and then Zakiya Brown with the Sankofa Experience, and then Brandon Davis with the Highly Revered podcast. So those three individuals, who all three of them I love, and I'm thankful for being a part of their lives, and them being a part of mine, invited me out there to just be a part of that podcast. So I am so grateful for those two opportunities, and just being able to, you know, to continue to spread the good word. Man, what a week, what a past couple weeks. The main thing is continuing to keep the pressure on. One thing that I learned growing up, and I still hold this evident today, to this day, is that you have to be responsible for what you say. So that, you know, I take that very serious as I even conduct this podcast, because life, you can say whatever you want. So I just want to make sure that I let you know that I agree with you. Well, your First Amendment right, you can say whatever the hell you want to say. But please believe you're going to be held responsible for what you say. You can say whatever you want to say, but trust and believe you will be responsible, you know, for what you say. And one of the things that, you know, in this local area of Dayton, Ohio, a business owner, let's see, what's the name of Greg McAfee, who's the president of McAfee Heating and Air. You know, he made some statements, and the Dayton Children's Hospital and University of Dayton, you know, they pulled away from him. And that is the primary two biggest entities in this area for HVAC, for anything. So if those two entities pull out, you know, you messed up. And a lot of these CEOs and people are, you know, making these tweets and retweeting and supporting certain things in an insensitive manner. You know, people are getting fed up with that. And, you know, none was bigger than Drew Brees. And this was a very, very, very touchy situation to begin with, because this is my take on this, on that. I'm not, this is going to sound weird, I'm not necessarily outraged by what Drew Brees said. I was more outraged by his apology initially, until I got more information. So luckily I've had a chance to process. These are my initial reactions. So this is, I'm telling you my initial reaction. Because I am the type of person, say what you mean what you say it with your chest, keep that same energy. That's just me. I've been told it's immature sometimes, that you got to be able to change energy and match energy and all those things. Because I'm the type of person, I match your energy, but when you cross certain lines, I'm going to keep the same energy 5 years now, 10 years from now, and all that. And that has worked to my benefit and also to my detriment. And with the Drew Brees situation, it's one of those things that he said what he really felt. And he received the backlash from it. And so this can be looked at one of two ways. You know, again, those are my initial response. So now I'm giving you my response after being able to process it for about 72 hours or whatever. And I still don't know. I mean, you know, everybody always says once a person reveals themselves, believe them. But that statement is always used in a negative connotation. So if a person does something for 15 years and it is positive, it is, you know, looked at as favorable, but if he or she says something controversial or does something controversial one time, then which one do we believe, the 15 year or the one time statement? And that's a tough one, because when certain things are said, it is very, very, it can be very, you know, it's a very critical time. It can be, you know, looked at as insensitive. It can be looked at as hateful. It can be looked at a whole bunch of things. However, if you look at the totality of a person's life, what do we weigh that by? And so that's why that particular thing is very tricky, because until a person sits down and you have a conversation with them and you see where their heart is and you can see where their mind is, you know, it that's what you can judge by. And then you have to look at a person's track record. And so what is that person's track record? What has he or she done? And again, going back to what I said, the totality of a person's life. And so for me, I just want to sit back and see how this plays out. You know, Malcolm Jenkins' Route to the Good Bros. You know, Malcolm Jenkins spoke out in a very heartfelt message. Michael Thomas, you know, spoke out. And so his teammates, you know, checked him on that. Ed Reed tore him. Excuse me for this static. I don't know what's going on. Ed Reed tore him a new one. And so he received it. And it's not over, because you have to work at building that trust back. You have to work at making sure that your teammates understand that this was a, I ain't gonna so much say a slip up as opposed to just not a willful ignorance. You know, he has to show that within his locker room, and his actions, the short of it, his actions here on out is going to determine what his legacy is going to be about. And so I really like what Shannon Sharp had to say on the totality. You know, Shannon Sharp basically told him he had to retire. That was going to be the best thing for him, because that locker room was never going to be the same. Since then, you know, Shannon Sharp has, you know, talked to Drew Brees. Drew Brees reached out to him. Now, we can look at that as a PR thing for Drew Brees. I don't know. When you start getting to judge somebody's intentions, it's so many rabbit holes that you can go down. And so at the end of the day, with sensitive situations like this, and somebody says something that you don't agree with, you know, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do about it? And what are you going to, how are you going to hold that person accountable? And so, yeah, so let's continue to watch this situation, and, you know, let me know what your thoughts is on the Drew Brees situation, and, you know, should you forgive him, or should you, you know, go ahead and just let that statement stand? Should he have apologized? You know, hit me up on my social media and on my website and let me know how you feel. The next point I want to talk about, which is the main point I want to talk about, is fighting on different fronts. And when you look at war, if you study war, if you study how the English fought, how different civilizations, if you look at Shaka, King of the Zulus, and his war tactics, if you read Sun Tzu, if you read, you know, different samurai, if you just look at the art of war, Hannibal and Achilles, you know, if you just, you know, Charlemagne, if you look at the different warriors, there is always different ways to win a battle. There is no one way of winning the battle. And my relevance to this is when I'm sitting back and looking at my sample size of, you know, people on my different social media platforms, and I look at, you know, their friends, you know, I can kind of go down a rabbit hole sometimes because I want to get a consensus of what people think. And I respond to their response, and I make my commentary not necessarily on the subject at hand, but the reactions to the subject. And one of the things that I found disheartening, and I continue to find disheartening, especially amongst my people who are the descendants of Africans who were forced here against their will through chattel slavery. How we criticize how someone else shows their support. You know, there were people who were upset at the protests because of COVID-19. There were people who felt that COVID-19 should keep you in the house. Less protests over the internet through our Twitter and Facebook and Instagram posts. Let's hold Zoom meetings and team meetings and Facebook meetings, and let's talk about that in an intellectual sort of way. But by all means, COVID hasn't gone anywhere. And so although that is a true statement, truly stated, it was done in a way to minimize the effectiveness of what the people did that were, you know, that were out there on the front line. There's, you know, of course, there's the whole thing with the riots. And it's always funny to me, and I did it, and I had to stop, and I'm going to stop. Especially after listening to that young lady, or that woman, excuse me, and talk about, you know, burning up the neighborhood. Because when you see people, they first of all preface, you know, we don't believe in rioting, but, you know, but the peaceful protest. They don't want to, you know, talk about the rioting, but the peaceful protest. And what that does is that minimize those people who genuinely, now I will preface this, who genuinely feel the pain of what's going on. Now, those people who are opportunistic, those people, we don't want you a part of the process at all. But again, if we're going to keep the same energy, then we have to keep the same energy with the foundation of this nation. The foundation of this nation, one of those sparks was a riot in the form of a Boston Tea Party. But again, if you look at it, and this is the reason why history is so important. Whoever wins the war makes the rules. Whoever wins the war controls the narrative. So you're taught to celebrate this because those people were fed up with how England were treating them and the taxation and the tea. And so what they want to do is that they went out and threw the tea overboard and just all those things. And it's celebrated. But at the end of the day, if we just break it down to its bare minimum, it is destruction of property that wasn't theirs. Just because you felt the way about it, that doesn't mean it was right. And so let's fast forward 200-300 years, and then we're seeing where we are now. This was a people that was not being listened to. We played the game. We did it your way. And you still kill us. And so that alone just accentuated the hate, the anger, and then the backlash. So, you know, I've already talked about that. Don't want to spend too much time on that. But then there were people talking about that. Then it was the people who were going balls to the wall, upset at the people who were doing the peaceful protest. Well, why are you praying and why are you doing this? You know, prayer ain't get us nowhere. You look what happened to Dr. Martin Luther King. He was nonviolent and they killed him. Well, let's do your history. Nat Turner, DeMarvisi, they led a whole revolt. They were killed too. So the point I'm making is, no matter which way you go, there the end of it has not met with the success that we would have wanted it to be. And then I saw people talk about that when they wrote the Black Lives Matter spray painting in the street in Washington, D.C. And then, you know, have people say, well, that is just a symbolic representation. We need actionable, real, tangible, actionable items. What is that going to do? So part of your statement is true. Yes, it is symbolic. But symbols are powerful. To this day, people don't know the swastika and what it means, what it really meant. They only know it by the fear and what it instills when you see it, as far as fear and hyper-tribalism and nationalism because of Adolf Hitler. When you see the swastika now is considered a hate symbol. That's a symbol. So if it didn't mean anything, then you should, you know, those hate groups should be able to write it without any repercussions. But the reason why it's repercussions, because what that symbol symbolized. And so although we don't want to minimize Black Lives Matter to just a hashtag. We want to make sure that the movement is continues to keep strong. And with that movement, the symbol, the hashtag, the Black Lives Matter is a symbol. So don't minimize the fact that it was done, because you don't know and we don't know what who will be inspired by that symbol. Who will say, you know what, enough is enough, and be proud and continue on the good work through that symbol. So my overall point today is, please, let's not be hypercritical how somebody chooses to win the war, because we need a totality of everyone to win the war. When Hannibal was crossing the Alps, I'm pretty sure somebody said, man, taking these elephants is not a good idea. Like, somebody in his camp said that. But Hannibal stood out and he said, hey, this is what we're going to do. He studied war. Some of the people in the Orient, you know, through the samurai, the way of the samurai is a way of life. And so they have different practices, and the Buddhist monks. And again, like I said, Shaka, the king of the Zulus. And if you just look at the different tribes of kingdoms, Ethiopia and Mali and Egypt, and all the ways that they, the pharaohs, and how all the way they, you know, did combat, it was all different. And within those armies and regiments, each person had a responsibility. In the United States Army, on United States Armed Forces, you have the Air Force. The Air Force is not necessarily, you know, skilled or that skilled in ground combat. That's for the Army. The Army is not necessarily skilled in sea combat. That's for the Navy. And you got the Marines are in between. Now, you have specialty units in each one of those things, but each branch of the armed forces has their specialization, and you need the totality of them to win the war. When you fight and you, now the one thing I will say, that as a collective, we, those different areas, you know, through art, through prayer, through marching on the street, through the political arena, that we all make sure we have one consistent message, and that is the total eradication of white supremacy. And so if you're in your church, that's your audience. And if you're going to use, I was fortunate enough to say a prayer. And I went there wanting to say something, so I'm not going to front and play the humble role like I didn't want to say nothing. But I didn't ask. I didn't ask to say anything. The people didn't know me. I didn't know them. And so the gathering of about 35 to 40 people, and I was asked to say a closing prayer. And before I said the prayer, I said what was on my heart. Jesus was a revolutionary. And so if I use my arena, whether it's this podcast, whether it's praying, whether it's on the street, you know, I'm comfortable in several arenas, but I understand where my strong suits are, and I gravitate toward those. But what I won't do is spend too much time talking about another African forced here, descendant of an African forced here against his or her will to this America through chattel slavery. I'm not going to spend my time criticizing what you believe you're doing is right. I'm just not going to do it. And I just shy away from people. And now I even shy away from even those conversations where people are just hypercritical. Now, if you can offer suggestions, but, you know, one thing I ask is, what are you doing? Like, what are you actively doing in your arena? And if you're doing that, you find like-minded people who want to do that with you, and then you go change the status quo on your side. Let me do my side. But if the ultimate goal is to eradicate white supremacy, injustice, you know, for marginalized people, people of color, all of that, then I'll see you at the finish line. I'll just see you there. but I'm not going to argue with you along the way. And that's what we end up doing. And that's what hurts the movement. And that's what, you know, can stop the movement. Because right now we have to keep the pressure on. We can't let up. We cannot let up. I watched the Mr. Floyd's memorial service, and it was just heartbreaking to see his family there in that moment. And say what you want about Reverend Al Sharpton. And that's another one. I owe him an apology because, again, I bought into the, you know, he always wants the spotlight. And he was honest. He said, yeah, I want the spotlight because I'm the person that's going to bring light to the situation. And when he said it, I felt so stupid. Yes, he has done some things that, you know, maybe that's wrong or whatever. But tell me what person is perfect that's, you know, that does it. Tell me one person that's perfect and I'll follow that person. No one is. And so it's not making an excuse for anything that he's done, but that man has fought more than half his life for me and he don't even know me. And so he did his thing on that eulogy and you know, and even what that young lady said is that America really needs to be thankful that all we wanted was equal rights and not revenge. And so where I stand now and continue to stand is I am here for my people and I'm here for God's people. And I'm here to be a servant. But with that being said, I'm going to keep the fight going. I'm going to keep the pressure on. So instead of sitting back and being hypercritical, let's find the commonalities and work together. That doesn't mean we agree. And if we disagree, so long as that person is not doing anything that, you know, not doing the Candace Owens. Now, she's not, you know, not doing that. And that's a whole nother podcast where I'm going to, you know, attempt to address those situations. But if a person just doing what they feel that is in their heart to do, whether it's peaceful protest, whether it's burning some stuff down to get some attention, whether it's in the political arena, whether it's in the church, whether it's in a sports arena, whether it's, you know, on talk shows, whether it's on podcasts, whatever they're doing, whether it's through the arts, if they are fighting for justice, just leave them the hell alone. Just leave well enough alone. My grandma always said that, just leave well enough alone. Go ahead, rock that boat. Let's all continue to fight. Let's all continue to keep pressure. And let's get these evil people up out of here because love has to win. Love has to win. So I just want to thank you for listening to me. Again, please rate the podcast. Please let me know how I'm doing. I'm getting feedback from people and I just love it. And, you know, it only makes me better and makes me stronger. Again, you can find me on all of my social media, which is www.kenscorner.co. That's www.kenscorner.co. And then also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Ken's Corner. So that was my website I gave earlier. And then the other is my actual social media. So with that being said, I just want you to stay safe out there. I want you to continue to keep the fight going. Don't give up. Don't get weary in your well-doing. And we will see each other at the finish line, whatever that finish line looks like. So with that being said, thank you for listening to Ken's Corner Podcast. I love, I trust, and I respect you. Peace. And be safe.